Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
All right, how are we doing? I had no idea how many people were going to be behind me like when I got up here, so this is cool. So it's been a week. Anyone else just feel like an overwhelming, just like maybe your anxiety at different levels this week? Am I just the only one? Okay, cool. It's just strange. We're just in a weird time now. I don't think any of us have ever experienced anything like this. And so I know for church world, we're like, what do we do? Oh man, we're figuring it out. But before we get into things, because I can't tell you how much is the importance of what we've been going through when talking about the book of Acts, even just this last series that we were in, how it just lines up with what's going on. We believe that God gave us this prophetic word move. And at first we're like, okay, cool. God's going to do a great move. And we're all like, hey, God, we're open for a new move. And here he is doing something new. And some of us were like, let's stop. Let's just go back to what we're used to. And so what's really important as we open up the book of Acts today is that we really begin to see that it's not about us asking God to do something specific, but we listening in and sensing where God is going and moving where he's moving. And I believe that this season that we are in as a country and as a planet and as a church is an integral part of how God's going to advance his kingdom. And it's going to be very interesting. And it's important that we study the book of Acts and doing that. So before we get into that, I want to welcome all of our live stream online campus with us today. So excited that you are here and that you're joining us at kitchen tables and couches and on your phone. And we're just so excited that you're here with us. I told my kids, my guys, you'll never guess what's going to be on TV tomorrow. And they're like, you're going to be on TV. I said, well, I was talking about Frozen 2 on Disney Plus, but yes. So for one moment, I was better than Elsa. Yeah. Just saying. I don't want to brag, but that felt pretty good. like Aaron said, connect groups are still happening. It is so important that we are part of a community, as long as it's under 250 people. And so if you have not yet been part, you're not a part of connect group right now, because I don't know about you, but even just the uneasiness of this week, it hopefully highlighted the importance of why you need people. In your life, and so go be a part of a connect group. Get in community with one another. See, before all this stuff happened, we're like, oh, Acts 2:42, yeah, you know, be part of a community, share with one another our needs. Like, yeah, that's nice. I have everything I need. And suddenly we're like, all right, how do I discreetly ask for toilet paper on Instagram? I don't just need it. I need you. You know the drill, right? You come to the door, you put it next to the bathroom door, you knock, and you walk away. That's the drill. We've all got to learn that real closely. You just never know. But this is the opportunity that we get to not just go to church, we get to be the church. We get to be the church. And that's going to take a new level of comfort or discomfort. But it's really important that we hold on to one another in community. No matter what happens on Sundays, we will continue to have services online. So whatever happens this week, and things change, please, we will have service. So if you have not yet filled out a Connect card with an updated email address or online, you haven't filled one out on the online Connect card, welcome card, make sure you do that so we can get all the information to you, be a part of services, any changes and things like that. Such as Man Camp, we will have an update on Man Camp by Monday is the goal to let you know what's going on with that as we process through the benefit or the detriment of 25 men sleeping in one cabin. So And that's even before the coronavirus. We will keep you all updated on that. On top of that, we'll also have some weekly videos just as an encouragement to keep us connected, update you all, and just, you know, share God's word with you. And again, just encourage you. And then today, our president has declared today as a National Day of Prayer. And so I want to take a moment for us to pray. I want to specifically pray over our medical professionals who are really at the front lines of the virus. Our nurses, our doctors, our pharmacy techs, just all of them. We never thought we would say this, but our grocery clerks, our Target and Walmart employees, our Costco employees who are dealing with the craziness. We need to be praying for them and doing whatever we can to support and do that. So if we could just take this moment, you can extend your hands, you can just think about them in your mind. We want to just focus on them. Lord, we thank you for the incredible people and the way that you have given just these people with great talents and skill and education to really keep our country safe, to keep our families safe. So Lord, we thank you for our doctors, our nurses, our pharmacy techs. Lord, we thank you for all the retail workers who are dealing with the craziness of people buying toilet paper and canned goods and all these different things. Lord, we pray safety upon them. Lord, we pray wisdom and discernment on them. God, we pray over our government officials and our leaderships who are trying to make decisions that are going to help alleviate any widespread of this. And we pray for people who are sick, who are in quarantine right now, or in self-quarantine, the trouble that is. Lord, would you just bring peace and would you bring power to them? God, we thank you that you did not say that you're going to leave us, but you would never leave us. You would never forsake us. In fact, you said you'd be with us to the end of the age. And so, Lord, we celebrate that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll continue to be praying for them. So we'll keep you updated on how we do things here. At this point, we consider it still safe to us to gather a little bit here. Most of you have 6 feet from one another, so we're good, except for those of you who, you know, live with each other. So you're sharing germs no matter what. But I came across this really great quote that one of our people in our church sent me this week. It's actually from Martin Luther. Martin Luther was part of the big Reformation of the church, and we benefit a lot to his work. But he wrote something during Europe's Black Plague centuries ago, and I thought it was applicable for us to hear it today. He says this: I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated, and thus perchance inflict and pollute others, so cause their death or result of my negligence. If my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith because it is neither brash nor foolhardy. Is we need to do our part, but at the same time, God has called us to be the church. And there are times where we have to love our neighbor in a greater capacity that we have to put ourselves in a little discomfort. And so I want us to be really open to what we talk about today, because I truly believe God's spirit is moving. It is not gone. It didn't move to Texas. It's here. It's present. What if his church listened? I gave you that challenge last week. What if we as a people listen to what the Spirit of God is moving? You know what happens? Revival in people's hearts. And I believe that God is doing a revival here. So let's respond to that. So as we look at the book of Acts, we're going to be looking at a few different stories, but we're reminded that the book of Acts is designed to inspire you and I to act on the promises and teachings of Jesus. We're not just supposed to stand there in heaven and go, "Oh Lord, where are you?" No, the angels came down to the disciples. Remember that? He said, "He told you to go to Jerusalem. Go, go." That's what he's called us to do. We are to act on the teachings and the move of what Jesus did. We're not just supposed to sit back and deal with and just kind of wait for his return to come. But you and I are a lot like the disciples. We now face a reality that Jesus is not present with us. Jesus did not walk in the door with you. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now, the disciples are not only not with Jesus, but they're living in very uncertain times, just like you and I are. See, the moment that you became a Christian, you got a target on your back from the Jewish religious leaders at the time because they saw it as blasphemy, and then the government rulers because they thought you were starting riots and starting ruckuses across the region. So they wanted to shut that down. So the moment you profess your name, profess Jesus as Lord, you are now uncertain of your job, uncertain of your social standing, uncertain of your family relationships, uncertain if you were even allowed into the markets. They lived in really uncertain times. Does it feel at all similar now? A month ago, we're like, no, we're good. We got everything we need. Now we're tackling people over Charmin. Things have changed, except for what God is doing, except for who God is and what his presence here with you and I. This is our context. This is our story. And now we are living the book of Acts right now. We read last week in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth, in Cerritos, in Artesia, in Cyprus, in Downey, in Pico Rivera, and in Whittier. You notice that what does he give us? Power and peace. I had you raise your hand today if you felt a little bit of anxiety. How many of you, we need peace? How many feel powerless? I need power. See, the Holy Spirit is no longer a theological idea. It has to be a reality in our life. Because the disciples had no power, they had no peace, but they had the Holy Spirit. And that's why he is called the comforter, it's why he's called the helper, it's why he's called our friend. We are in a greater need of the Holy Spirit than we've ever been now. If you've ever felt like you can't do this on your own, it's because the Holy Spirit is here ready to help. See, the power we receive is not so that we can buy another car or just feel better about ourselves. The power we receive is to face times like now with confidence and with hope and to stay on mission. It is so easy to go, well, everything's just crazy right now. I'm going to forget about what Jesus is doing. I'm going to step away from the mission. I'm going to step away from loving people because I've got to get my Campbell's. It's staying on mission, staying confident. Yeah, everything else is falling around me, but I have confidence that God is faithful. And to remain that there is a hope. And this is the end that we've been talking about this over and over again. I feel like we talked about this all last year. Is at the end of the day when you confess Jesus is Lord, your hope is not going to be here on earth. It's not. Everything's like fragile. Fragile. And I'm like, no, it's not fragile. We're great. And then you saw the stock market. You're like, oh, yeah, things are fragile. The hope we have in Christ is not fragile. See, in this new season, we get to be the church. It's not about going to church now. It's about being the church at the greatest capacity we've ever seen. And that's why today we're going to talk about what it means to live with boldness. To live with boldness. Right now we want to be timid. Right now we want to be afraid. But God has called us to be bold. And so we're going to look at a few different stories. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4 in your Bible. Right here, you can use the YouVersion app or your actual Tangible Bible if you're watching online. Open up your Bible, Acts chapter 4. We're going to be going through a few different chapters in Acts to highlight a few of these stories. I'm going to give you some points of application here. In chapter 4, verse 18, we come across Peter and John. They have just healed a man who's been sick his entire life. At the gate called Beautiful, right? And as the person rose up and stood for the first time, people celebrated, didn't they? Woo! No. Religious leaders got mad. They weren't happy. Wait a minute, by what power do you do this? Wait a minute, what's going on here? And then the government starts going, wait a minute, why is there a ruckus? It's getting uneasy. We're not feeling good about this. And so they talk to John and Peter and they say, and this is kind of where we pick up here in verse 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, all while praising God for what had happened. They're standing up to authority. That's some boldness. But they do it in a way not to dishonor the authority. They said, hey, that's up to you to judge, but we cannot stop from what we just heard. And with threats coming at you, I don't know. There's two different types of people when they receive threats. There are those of you who, if you get threatened, you kind of back off a little bit, right? All right, cool. It's just, we're good. Now, there's other of us. You get threatened, and suddenly it's an invitation to a brawl. Like, oh, what, boy, what? You stand up, like, you start puffing your chest out a little bit. But here's this confrontation where they're not trying to dishonor, but they boldly say, hey, we've got to respond to what we've heard. And so they process that. That was kind of like, okay. Little conversation there, not too crazy, but let's look at Stephen. Stephen is one of my favorite people in all Scripture, because when I first got saved, I told you last week, I went to this Bible study, and the Bible study was on the book of Acts. And a lot of my idea of Christianity was, oh yeah, if it's convenient, you follow Jesus. Okay, cool. Like, all right, it's just a thing you do. But then I came across the story of Stephen, and I went, oh, this is for real. This is something significant. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, we get a little introduction to Stephen. It's a one-sentence introduction about who he is. It says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Right? That sounds good, right? Man, good job, Stephen. And you're preaching it. Let's just get you out there. Let's spread the gospel. Let's do these things. So he does this thing. He shares the gospel. Fast forward to chapter 7, verse 54. It says this. Now when they heard these things, they heard the gospel, they were enraged. They ground their teeth at him. Now, sometimes I get a little negative response when I share the gospel, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone enraged, grinding their teeth. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. And they rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Remember Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And the falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was stoned because he shared the gospel. I think this is one of the boldest prayers I have ever seen. As they are throwing rocks at him, he says, Lord, do not hold this against them. I would have a different prayer. I would have prayers, Lord, make the stones turn to sand. Make them turn into pillows. One big pillow fight. I would say, Lord, would you turn the rocks around and shoot them back to the people who threw them? But Stephen prays, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And I can't say that I would say that prayer. I can't say that. And even if you're looking at the situation that's going on now, as people are hoarding and doing all these things, being crazy shoppers and getting a little scary and all these different things, is right now say, yeah, I could probably say that, but I still have toilet paper. I still have food. And what if I could get to that point where I was full of the Holy Spirit, that I could pray for those who are attacking me? That's a bold prayer. And I would even say that's an impossible prayer without the power and the peace of the Holy Spirit. I love that it says that, and then he fell asleep. I think that's God's grace and his mercy, that he was able to receive that terrible torment but find peace as he moved from this life onto the next. The next story of boldness we come across is this guy named Ananias. Okay, this is going to be important. Go ahead, Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 17. It says, and now there was a disciple of Damascus named Ananias. just minding his own business. Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord, ready for my blessing, right? Like, all right, Lord, you want to hear God speak? All right, God, I'm here. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. Sounds good. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. Oh, red flag. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Come and lay his hand on him so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man. This guy's got a reputation. And how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on my name. He's saying, this guy, he approved Stephen's death. Did you think Ananias started feeling a little uncertain? Yeah, how do I know this isn't a trap? Like, he can arrest me. I'm doing fine over here. I'm just in Damascus, minding my own business. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. God had a bigger plan for Saul. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. It's literally, possibly walking into a trap. Uncertain, but he had the boldness of the Holy Spirit. His brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that in this season, God has called us to pray boldly. I believe he has called us to not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith. And even more than that, hope. We are to have hope. What happened when we kind of rewind, go back to Peter and John, they had this whole encounter. And meanwhile, the church gathering is praying for them. And if we go back to chapter 4, verse 29, it says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. So they're praying that the word continues to grow, Lord, that you heal, that signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant. This begins their prayer. As the opposition increases, their faith and their hope and their dedication to the mission increases. And it should be no different than us. And it says that, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. See, opposition, uncertainty will lead to fear unless we take the bold stance to choose hope. Fear will consume you. Unless you choose hope. We choose hope. So let's talk a little bit about that. Number one, write this down. Our hope is in Jesus and not circumstances. Our hope is in Jesus and not circumstances. I came across this, I was reminded of this song yesterday as our incredible tech team up. Got our live stream up and ready to go for today and for the upcoming Sundays. And they're practicing the sound, making sure things are sounding the way that they're supposed to sound and don't sound like you're in a wind tunnel or that it's repeating over and over again. And one of our worship leaders, Paul, who's really spearheading the audio part of our live stream, he came up here on the piano. And it was just like, all right, we just need to play something. So he started playing a song, and he kind of mumbled it, but I was sitting right here, and I was listening to it as we were trying to figure out which song to do. Anyway, but he sang this, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Cornerstone from Hillsong. We need to anchor our hearts, our minds, our emotions to Jesus. Because Because if you try to do anything else, you're going to wrestle. You're going to struggle. Now, but you're going to struggle without hope. Well, at least with Jesus, you struggle, but you have hope. There's a big difference. If you've ever been in a situation where there was no hope, and when you got a little bit of taste of it, it's everything. And whether it's what you've walked through this week or you're in fear of what's going to happen this next week, we have an opportunity to anchor our souls to Jesus. And it says this, we have this in Hebrews 6:19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, the place where we don't show anybody else. I get it. I struggled getting up this morning. I don't know if anyone else was there. One, it was like at 6 a.m, and that's always a struggle. I was a morning person until I had kids. And now I try every ounce of sleep I can get. But it was a struggle. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of not knowing what today was going to look like. I make the joke, the churches all over the country are live streaming with the pastor and the worship team just teaching to an empty congregation. I think it's one of the reasons why God always uses the small church. All throughout the centuries, God uses small churches to spread his kingdom. Also mega churches, I'm not saying that not, but there's something powerful about that. But what's funny is they're preaching to empty congregations. So I told Aaron, I said, well, now they know what a church planter feels like on a 3-day weekend. that's normal. but there was fear. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It is no benefit to our church if I'm not real with you. Not that I wasn't afraid that no one would show up, because I get it. There's no condemnation, no judgment on anyone who's not here. But there's fear. I know there's many of you, you don't know if your cargo shipments are coming in. You don't know if anyone's coming into your restaurant. You know, some of you just, school's out, so you're like, wait, and I do have to work, but now I have kids that I have to find a place for. There's a lot going on. And if we don't anchor our souls to who he is, our emotions to Jesus, because he is the same today, yesterday, and today, and forever, you're going to be blown all over the place. And you're going to get tired real quick. And that's why what I'm talking about, right? Number two, write this down. Community has to be fought for. I'm talking about community with people and community with Jesus. You know, that's where we get the word communion from? To have community with God? We understand that the church isn't the building, right? The church is the people. And whether you're meeting here right now in Artesia, you're meeting at home. I know first service, we had a whole family meeting in one of the houses. This is the great thing about you get to form community where you're at. And the benefit of this season is that churches are no longer holed up with a few thousand people in one building. Now they're across homes and neighborhoods. You have an opportunity to be the church planter, to be the pastor of your neighborhood. Did you know that? You didn't have to go to college for it. You just love Jesus and point people to him. You get to be that in your neighborhood. You get to be that with your family. You get to be that with the parents of the school that you're in community with. You get to do that at your work, because everyone doesn't know what's going to happen. Everyone's uncertain. We have a certainty. Did you know that your family is your first disciples? Sometimes we forget that. Kids being off school is kind of a good thing. I know some of you, you're driving, you're going camping. You're going to go on a trip. You're going to do all sorts of things. Some of you are going to stay home. Whatever it may be that your context, your family is your first disciple. So the kids and I, we're starting this tomorrow. We're doing Bibles and breakfast. And so we're going to open Bibles, have my Lectio Divina journal, and we're going to read the verse, and we're going to talk about it as a family. Bibles and breakfast, and eat pancakes. Always a good thing. You know what a worship time at our house looks like? We turn on the Kids Life worship playlist on our Alexa thing, and they have a dance party. They do all the motions. They go crazy. It's not like, oh, no. It's like crazy dance party moving all around. Dance moves that I'll never let my daughter do as a teenager. but right now she's 5 and it's worship. So just going crazy, just worshiping, just being excited, and we get to play together. You know, even if you're in quarantine right now watching online, you can still take a walk outside. just don't go near people. You should take your dog out, right? That corner's getting really stinky right now. You're allowed to take your dog out. Like, you need to just physically engage with people, physically engage with your kids and your family. It's okay. This is a new opportunity. It's a new normal, but it's a new opportunity to make your family your first disciples. And it's also an opportunity to love your neighbor. Isn't it funny? A few weeks ago, we read Acts 2:42, and we talked about the importance of sharing with one another so all had need. We're like, oh, we're good. Guess what? Now we're in need. How can we as a church community, as a family, as connect groups, as small cells, those watching at home, how can we knock on our neighbor's door and just check on them? You know what happens when you get to know your neighborhood? They seem less threatening. When you start to know people by name, you start to see their face. You start filling needs before people feel like they have to take needs. We have an incredible opportunity to fight for community here. And number three, and I'm going to invite Jessica and Jonathan up, is we need to recognize the Spirit of God is moving. He's moving. This didn't surprise God. It surprised me. Surprised some of you. But this didn't surprise God. God's doing new things. He's gathering his people in new ways. He's putting us with our kids in times we never thought we would have time with him. He's even given us rest. I feel like I'm in a weird position because after I injured my knee, it's been, what, 4 weeks now, 3 weeks now? I couldn't move it for 2 weeks. I was, like, already quarantined, except for one doctor's visit, and then I came here once. That was it. I couldn't move. And it was just frustrating. It was angry. And I watched way too many murder shows on Netflix. But I remember someone asked me, so well, what's God teaching you in this time? Oh, that's right. So I journaled and scriptured and got to see that God actually speaks to people when they rest. You know that God doesn't look down on rest? He actually tells us to do it weekly. What does God want to teach you in your rest? What does God want to teach you in this season that you may not be working or you may not be on school or whatever the situation is? What can God teach you? Because what's really easy to happen is we can waste the time that God has set up as divine appointments on doing other things that are unimportant. I believe that no matter as we as believers call on the name of God, that he will speak to his people. We position ourselves to hear what he has to speak to us. Because God is in every season. I believe he is waking up people. You know what happened as persecution increased to the church in the book of Acts? The church spread and more came to know believers. The church grew. There was a revival in people. So we cannot be discouraged by the spreading of church or the spreading of or things looking different. Oftentimes when something is different, that means God is doing something new. And we have the opportunity in our generation to raise the bar. So you know what's interesting? As this goes on, our kids will know a little bit of hardship. But if we teach them well, point them to Jesus, point them to loving their neighbor, they have the opportunity to be a greater generation than this in this room. I think that sounds pretty good to me. So I want us to stand together. Because this is not a time for fear. This is not a time for hiding. I believe this is a time for allowing God to do a revival in our hearts, in our church, in our community. So we're going to have the prayer buckets up here if you want to put prayer requests, or if you want to, or as you're giving since we didn't pass buckets. But at this time, I want you to just seek after Jesus, because in every aspect, God always makes a way. Always makes a way. Let's worship him together here on campus and online.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.